Hello, hello. And today we're going to be talking about four simple steps to food freedom. Tune in.
Welcome to another episode of Binge Eating to Food Freedom with me, Katie Papo. If you're ready for genuine and lasting freedom from binge eating, emotional eating, or out of control food issues, you are in the right place. Subscribe, follow, and enjoy the episode.
Hello, hello, and welcome. Today we are kicking off season 5. So welcome. I am, as you can see, in a new location. I am upgrading my audio. So I hope that you find that the audio is improved even from here on out. And the topic for today, four simple steps to food freedom. I came up with this topic because I'm currently in the middle of building a brand new program called Path to Food Freedom. I'll be calling it Path for short. And this is the culmination of all of my years of training people to end their disordered eating, end their binge eating, end their compulsions and obsessions with food, and instead live a life truly peaceful and to have a healthy, calm, relaxed relationship with food where it's just a non-issue. And so as I was creating this program, which will be launching next month, it is right now February 2023, and this will be launching at the start of March 2023. So as I was building this new program, I was working with someone to help me with the organizational piece, et cetera. And she invited me to really look at my process because we've gotten it quite streamlined over the years. And our results with our clients have been quite amazing and hard to ignore. So as I was looking at this, we've always split it up into four phases. And what I'm going to go over with you today is these four phases that I've always really taken my clients through. I've added some names for each phase now to make it more memorable for you. So that way, as you're practicing throughout your day, you can repeat the name of the phase. So this is where my inspiration of this episode came from. And by the way, if you are someone who's looking for some serious guidance on how to shift your relationship with food, end your disordered eating, end binge eating permanently, and free yourself from your worries and burdens with food, this will be definitely a program to look into. So stay tuned, join my email list. I'll be announcing more even within the next few days. So, and I'll make it possible to pre-register because we're only going to open a certain number of spots to start. So stay tuned for that. But for now, what I'd really like to do is give you the framework that we've been using all these years and make it easy for you to remember so you can see how all these pieces work together for your food freedom. And what does food freedom ultimately mean? It means you're no longer stuck in disordered eating, binge eating, compulsive overeating, food addiction, bulimia, however you choose to call your food issues. We can help you end all of that with this exact process that you'll be learning today. So you can enjoy a life of freedom where food is just not an issue for you and you can focus your energy on your loved ones and your career and all of the things that matter most to you. So what I'd like to do to kick off this framework is I wanted to, which do I want to do first? I see some comments already. Hey, Nancy, nice to see you. Glad you guys are caught me live. If you're listening live, let me know in the comments. Write live in the comments. If you're listening to the replay, write replay. You know the drill by now. It's season 5. So what I wanted to kind of kick off this episode with is a writing by one of my clients, Julie. I won't share her last name for her own privacy reasons, but Julie's been working with us for the last couple months. And I wanted to share something with her, with you guys, that she wrote because ultimately what she talks about in her writing is all of these phases. So I wanted to read you what she wrote, and then I'll break down each phase for you afterward, so that way you can start to understand what the process will look like for you as you apply it for yourself. So Julie wrote this. She said, "A couple months ago, before I started this program, I was in despair. I was becoming increasingly aware of the impact that 42 years of chaotic eating were having on my physical health. I could not believe that I was approaching retirement and still doing what I had been doing since before I had even left school." So she'd been struggling for quite a while. Julie says, "I have spent a lifetime spinning in and out of restriction and excess, spinning faster and faster over the years, trying to control my actions through my head and clutching on to the belief that one day I would quote unquote solve it." And this is, by the way, side note, this is what a lot of our clients have been stuck in. They keep trying to quote unquote figure out how to fix this through their thinking intellectual minds, because our clients tend to be very smart. And so they're more head oriented. So they think through things in terms of problem solving and intellectualizing and analyzing. So this is what Julie was doing too. She said, "The evidence that even when I did solve it, I could never sustain it. It was overwhelming. And that yet that insane belief persisted, quite insane. Every single aspect of my life was filtered through my food struggles. Big and small life decisions were based on the wobbly foundations of whether I felt good about and in my skinny, underfed self, or bad about and in my bloated, overfed self. So there was no trust and very little security." So this is where, this is most people's starting point, right? Is a lot of the decisions we make in our lives are dependent on whether it's our eating or our size, and ultimately our issues with food start to creep into all these other really important areas of life and hold us back in these other areas of life. So now Julie goes on to talk about her successes that she's had through starting the journey, and you're going to start to hear some language about what she did, what she's doing, and I'm going to break that down for you after into four simple phases so it all makes very clear sense. Maybe I'll read all 10. I'm not sure if I'm going to read all 10 of her successes that she wrote, but I'm going to start reading. So she said, "Success number one, listening to my body. Foundational, bottom up, not top down processes. Literally tipping over a lifetime habit. My body has been trying to communicate with me all this time, and now I'm learning to listen to it." All right, pay attention there. "I admire and I'm grateful for its resilience and patience." Number two, trust in my body and trust in a broader sense. The skills I have learned in listening to and trusting my body's signals have made me so much more trustful of myself in other aspects of life, in unexpected and amazing outcomes. So already pay attention how she's talking about communication, body listening, and trust. Number three, success number three, compassion and kindness towards myself. This is a bigger turnaround than I can express. I get that being critical of oneself can be protective, and I also think there's a strong cultural drive towards this, especially for women. But in reality, kindness protects you most because it's about acceptance and not rejection. And it's rejection that's so hurtful. I can't give examples of this right now, but I can literally feel the internal shift. So notice how she's talking about an internal shift. She's talking more about feeling than intellectualizing, and she's talking about compassion and kindness. Okay, number four. Now, these things might be a little lingo-y for you guys, but I'm gonna go over it after, so just follow as best as you can. Julie says, success number four, abundance mentality and the pleasure principle. So you guys might have heard me mention this on past episodes. She says, beautiful and joyous. It's what's more motivating than beauty and joy? It's so not dieting, where beauty and joy are some future ideal that you work through pain and discomfort to achieve, only for a little bit. That just seems insane now. I have felt properly happy at points in these last couple of months in a way that I haven't felt properly happy very often. So that excitement kind of ripples. Odd to say, but at times I feel like I did as a younger teenager before I went on that fateful and incomprehensible and unnecessary diet that changed my life. Back when I was high energy, chatty, and ebullient. Oh, that's a good word. Julie's an interesting writer. Okay, now we're going on to number five, success number five, where she talks about any amount. You guys might have heard me talk about any amount before. I'm going to go over this again, like I said, when I go over these four steps. So Julie says, any amount, revolutionary. It's so big and yet so small, multidimensional. It makes most things achievable and allows you to build momentum of success, which also accounts for the feelings of happiness. If you can be successful in most things in any amount, you can enjoy being happy in your success most days, a winning formula. Number seven. Okay, this is another one I definitely wanted to bring up to you guys. She talks about the power of pause. She says, or the interrupt, using breath as a tool for pausing. Rest. Amazing what comes when you rest, or sometimes what goes away, or that's the thing that you feel you had to say somehow, but it doesn't need to be said. It deflated urgency. I'm debating if I want to read the rest of her wins. She talks about having the practice tools for life. I don't have to look anywhere else. It's a greater relief than what I can say. I've been supported and this program continues to support me through difficult life stuff. I would never be managing in the way that I am without it. So these tools that I'm actually going to teach you today around food, these simple steps, are not only applicable to apply for food, they're also applicable for any area of life. So this can serve you in all areas. So Julie mentioned a few things here that I wanted to address in each of these four simple steps that I'm going to go through. These are the four steps to food freedom. And while they're simple, they do take practice, they do take understanding. That's why I'm building an entire course on these principles to help people actually embody and live them rather than just intellectually understand them, of course, because that's where the real change happens. So I'm going to start with Yeah, Nancy said breathing and rest is a great tool. That's a good segue to where I'm going right now. So the first step of the four steps in the path to food freedom is what I call the reset. Now, you guys have heard me talk about rewiring your eating before, right? I had a program called Rewired Eating. This is what I've been running now for a while. And the idea of rewiring your eating is repatterning, creating an entirely new set of patterns around food, an entirely new relationship around food. And it all begins with a reset. By the way, I'm sorry visually if you guys are watching this. I know I have sun in my face, but this is where my new recording booth is. It's not the best visual, but it's better audio. So you win some, you lose some. So the reset is the foundational piece. Now, what is the reset? The reset is where we shift from that state of compulsiveness around food and that out of control, chaotic energy, the anxiety, that urge, the cravings, the intensity, all of that is taken care of in the reset phase. That's why the reset is so important. You guys hear me talk about hunger signals, fullness signals, all that kind of stuff. We cannot access those things until we have completed the reset. So the reset is the foundational piece that comes first. Now, what Julie mentioned and what Nancy just mentioned in the comments is there are certain tools that we can use to reset from that state of compulsion into that state of peace and calm and relaxation around food. Now, in order to shift from compulsion to peace, right, there are things that need to happen, not just on an intellectual level. In fact, this process is not intellectual. It's a felt experience. What do I mean by that? It's a body experience. So you know how if someone, let's say you're in a totally relaxed mood, and then someone like riles you up and says something offensive or gets you angry in some way, you can physically feel that shift, right? It's not that you automatically or that you consciously or intellectually think, oh, they said something offensive and I think I'll choose to be mad right now. It's not a choice. It's autopilot, right? You automatically shift into what started as a relaxed state and now you're in anger mode. So you feel that in your body, right? What happens? Maybe your heart rate increases, your muscles tense, your face tenses, right? You feel a physiological shift in yourself. Now, we could say the same thing for fear, right? You might be totally relaxed and then suddenly you're afraid and you're watching a horror movie and suddenly all your muscles are tense. You're not breathing, right? Your heart rate is fast. So you can shift, right, your state. And it's not necessarily an intellectual process. It's a felt process. Now with the reset, we are doing a shift just like that, but in the opposite direction. So you might start out in that compulsive, out of control, tense, anxious state around food or when you think about food. And you consciously change the physiology of your body. We specifically use breath. We use muscles. We use your actual body to help you change that state. And that is what we call the reset. That's the shift. So you're shifting from the fight or flight state that where compulsiveness and obsession and anxiety around food is born. And we're shifting into an entirely different state in your nervous system. So it's not just that you have this intellectual shift of, oh, I'm tense and now I'm calm. It's not in the mind. It's physically in your nervous system. So that's the most important foundational shift you can make, because if you don't reset and you're not in that calmer version of your nervous system, you're not going to be able to properly build habits. You're not going to properly be able to listen to your body signals. The thing is, when we're in that survival state, we lose a lot, right? We lose our ability mentally to make decisions. We lose our ability to have willpower. We lose our ability to form habits or learn new things. We lose our ability to concentrate. All of those mental functions become impaired. The brain just doesn't work that way when we're in the survival state, which makes sense because historically, let's say we're running from a lion, we're not going to want to be like, let me weigh the pros and cons of what I should do next. No, we automatically go into that fight or flight mode. So rational thinking kind of goes out the window. So this is the state that the majority of us have been making our food decisions from that place of compulsion, from that place of fight or flight. So what we want to do is shift from that state into the parasympathetic state, the rest and digest state, where your brain works a heck of a lot better. And not only that, but when you're in the rest and digest state, not only does your brain work better and you have better decision making, more willpower, better chance at learning, habit forming, but there's also physiological benefits. We have to be in the relaxed state in order for the body to function properly. Why? Because if we're using all of our energy for fight or flight, right? The body says, well, I'm not going to waste any energy on fat burning. I'm not going to waste any energy on digestion. I'm not going to waste any energy on metabolism or immunity. I'm using all of my energy for survival. So if we don't shift out of that survival state and we're constantly in that compulsion and that anxiety, we are literally preventing our bodies from being able to release weight, burn fat, digest, assimilate, recover, have strong immunity, but all of these things are strengthened and our body becomes stronger and healthier and more balanced when we are in the relaxed state, parasympathetic nervous system, rest and digest. So this is the first tool, or I guess practice, I should say, that we teach our clients. And this will be the first phase also of the Path to Food Freedom program that's coming out soon, where we don't just teach you about it intellectually, but we train you in this process so you, at your own command, can shift and reset your body whenever you're in that state of compulsion, whenever you're in that state of anxiety, feeling out of control. You can physically reset yourself. You can reset your nervous system. So now you actually have access to your rational brain. And not only that, but you're putting your body in a position where it's actually strong and can function and heal and digest and assimilate and get healthier. So this reset is like, I mean, it's the start to everything. So this reset phase is the first step, and it's simple, but it takes a little bit of practice, and it takes, you know, practice makes permanent, right? But this is the first step to food freedom, is being able to shift from that state of compulsion into the state of peace and ease where you can actually make proper choices. Makes sense. So now I'm going to go into, and this is what Julie was talking about, where she mentioned the breathing and the power of pause, right? Where we pause and now I can actually have space to create this shift. You get that? So now I want to go into the next step, which is called receive. Now all the steps start with re, so it makes it easier to remember. So reset, now we're going into receive. Now what receive alludes to, step number two, is where once we're calm and we're in that state of objective calm, now we're in a position where we can feel our body signals. We know if we're hungry, we know if we're full, we know if the food actually tastes good. You know, I remember when I was binge eating, I wouldn't even taste the food half the time. So it allows us to be present and to receive body signals, whether those body signals are food related or, you know, just general health related, we start to get those body signals back. And that's what Julie was talking about when she said, I've learned to listen to my body. I've learned to communicate with my body. That's the receive phase. That's what she was talking about. But that's only possible once the reset happens. Otherwise, we're still trapped in our brains trying to just figure everything out. Like she was talking about in the beginning, how she was trying to just figure out this process forever. For 42 years, she was trying to solve it using her brain. Whereas once she learned the reset and then could receive the body signals and communicate with the body, now we're cooking. Makes sense? So that's step number two, is receive. Now the third step is called respond. So now we have reset, receive, and respond. Now respond is once we've reset ourselves, we've gotten some signals from the body and the body's communicating with us and we've learned the body's language, now we get to respond accordingly. And respond is basically what we choose to do. And we give our, this is the third phase of our, of the program that's coming out, and also in the program that I've been teaching. What we teach our clients to do is to respond in such a way that aligns with their vision for themselves. Because a lot of times, if we're in compulsive mode and we're just out of control and chaotic, right, our response usually, first of all, doesn't even feel like a choice. It feels like it's just a compulsion. And second, we tend to choose things that are against what we actually want. We self-sabotage, we harm ourselves. So once we have reset and receive down, now we can actually respond in such a way that's fruitful for us, where we're listening to our body's true needs, responding to from a place of kindness and compassion, like how Julie mentioned, kindness and compassion. We're responding not from a place of beating ourselves anymore, but by listening. This is what I mean. You've probably heard me say, we teach you how to work with yourself instead of against yourself. This is what I mean. When you use tools and you are on your own side and you're kind to yourself and compassionate for yourself, what this does is it allows for faster progress. It allows for growth. When you're constantly beating yourself, it really hinders growth and it hinders progress. And then it keeps us in that binge kind of shame loop. If you think about it, what we're really doing here when you're doing reset, receive, respond, as opposed to the binge cycle, is you're replacing one cycle with another. So in the old cycle, you're restricting your food, then you have all these cravings and all these urges, then you give in to the urges, then you feel awful that you gave into the urges, then you say, all right, now I really gotta stick to my plan now. I really, and then we restrict and then we binge more, and it's this whole cycle. This is a cycle too. So you reset, you receive the signals, you respond accordingly to those signals from your calm place. And then when that's finished, now we repeat the process. And that's the last phase of the cycle, repeat. So when we have these four steps, the reset, receive, respond, repeat, the repeat is what Julie was mentioning when she said any amount. What did she say? What were her words exactly? She said, yeah, and she also said that the any amount was one of her biggest takeaways. She said revolutionary. It's so big yet so small. It makes things achievable. So essentially what the any amount principle is it allows you to build consistency. It allows you to repeat. A lot of our clients have struggled with all or nothing mentality. They'll be all in on something, but then they fall off the wagon and it's like it all goes to hell. And what this allows is for consistency and progress. So if you've struggled in the past with consistency, with long-term success, with keeping things sustainable, this is the portion that's key. And this is what we train our clients in. And this is going to be a whole section, or it is already a whole section in Path to Food Freedom, the program that's coming out soon. So, or if you're listening to the replay, it's probably already out. So, so this is the idea. We have those four stages. These are the four simple steps. But when we combine all these steps in a cycle, what that does, the more we repeat that cycle, that creates the rewiring of the brain, the rewiring of the body. So we have reset, receive, respond, repeat. All of that creates the rewire. Does that make sense? So, and the rewiring, what that does, it's kind of like if you've ever learned how to, let's say, yeah, Lita is like, any amount is big. And exactly, it's these small compounding things that add up to the big result. It's like that, you know, you add a little bit to the snowball and soon the snowball is huge. And this is how our clients achieve all of their results. It's never all at once, but because it's these tiny things that add up and add up and add up, it actually happens so much faster than if you were to just all or nothing and struggle with that for years, being all in and then falling off and then all in and then falling off. That doesn't even create progress. That creates stagnation. So what we're talking about here is consistent practice of any amount and building that growth. Now, like I was saying before with the rewiring, when you repeat again and again and again, what that does is it not only makes it doable and sustainable, but it makes it more and more effortless. So effortlessness comes from repetition, right? The repeat phase. So that's why, like Lita said, hi, by the way, I love seeing you here. Lita said, any amount is big. And the reason it's big is think about any time you've learned something new that required practice. Like let's say driving. When you first learned how to drive, I mean, that's pretty scary. It's you're driving this big machine that can kill people. And there's the gas pedal and the brakes and the mirrors and the signals and the steering wheel and the seatbelt and so many pieces. And when you first learn it, you got to break it down, right? You practice in your, you know, Walgreens parking lot, if you're like me, and you just do these slow circles around the parking lot, getting used to the feeling of the car. That's essentially what we do here. But over time, what happens? Well, now the parking lot feels easy. So what do? You start driving around the suburbs. You start driving around in a neighborhood where it's more challenging than a parking lot, but not as hard as the highway. So that's what we do with our clients too. We teach them the tools and then we have them practice in certain situations with food. Now, once you've gotten acclimated to that, now you can get on the highway. And it might be a little scary at first, but you do it. And when you get on the highway and you start driving, you build that skill, you build trust in yourself, right? Julie was talking about that element of trust as well, and how that increased like as a side effect. And she now feels trust, not just around food, but in all these other areas of her life. That's because of the repetition too. The more you repeat it, the more you see, oh, I can do this. I got this. And that's what our clients see all the time. They'll have all these experiences with food. And then when they come up again and they've dealt with them so many times, they're like, oh, I got this. This isn't a big deal. I've seen this before. It doesn't feel scary anymore. So when you're driving a car, you know, when you've practiced it again and again and again, then it becomes effortless over time, right? When you're driving now, it's very different than when you first started to learn to drive. Because now when you're driving, you could potentially talk on the phone, you listen to music, right? You can do, I mean, I don't advise that you multitask when you're driving, but a lot of people can, right? Sometimes I find myself, if I'm zoning out off in my own world, I'll just end up back in my driveway, but I don't even really know how I got there. It was just my body driving the car, taking me there while my mind was thinking about something else. And I know I'm not alone in that. So this is where the effortlessness comes in. And this is why a lot of our clients have experiences like, oh, I just was around this food that used to be so triggering for me, but I just felt totally neutral about it. It was like no big deal at all. That's where the energy of the effortless comes in. When you've repeated these four steps, right, again and again and again, you rewire a new reaction to food. Your body does not react the same way. Your subconscious does not react the same way. And therefore, all of your conscious thoughts, behaviors, and actions are different than they have than how they used to be. But it doesn't take a lot of conscious effort on your part because you already put in the conscious effort to build the pattern. And now you're just practicing the pattern. And the more you practice, the easier it gets, just like driving. Does that make sense? I hope that that summarizes everything. So these are the four steps: reset, receive, respond, repeat. All of that together creates the rewiring. And if this is something that you want to understand beyond the intellectual, you want to actually live this and be trained in this, this is what we're experts in. This is what I consider myself to be an expert in. And this is the type of results that we've been getting our clients now predictably for years. And I'm actually really excited to build out the rest of this program that's coming out next month. I've been working so much on this because my goal for this year, I'll just share with you, this is more of like a personal thing, but my goal this year was to be able to make this process and this type of training accessible to more people. Because right now, you know, basically since I've started, I've been working with smaller groups because we provide such a high level of support and of course, naturally, it comes at a higher price point because of what we provide. So what I was setting out to do this year was to give you all these same trainings and tools and practices so you can ingrain it in yourself. And then you'll have the option to go through that entire process beyond the intellectual, but to really train yourself into food freedom, but simply I'm trying to make it more accessible to everybody or as many people as possible. So that way you can have this freedom and food is no longer an issue for you and you can really live from this place of peace and enjoy your life, right? Because isn't that why we want this in the end anyway? So we can stop thinking about food all the time and simply enjoy our lives. So this is what's coming. So if you're listening to this live, know that it's coming soon. And if you're listening to the repeat of this and it's beyond the beginning of February 2023, know that this is likely already available. And I invite you to look at my website to learn more. But for now, I'll say join my email list because this is where all the announcements are coming through. And if you'd like to join PATH, all the information will be made available very, very soon. So I invite you to explore that if you're serious about freeing yourself from all of these disordered eating issues and really living in a place of genuine peace and ease with food. So with that, I hope this has been helpful to summarize the four steps to food freedom. They are simple, they require some practice, but they are very, very doable for anyone of any age, anywhere in the world. And I encourage you to start practicing as soon as you can. So this kicks off season 5, and I'll see you on some future episodes. All right, talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening. If you found this episode helpful, please subscribe, follow, or leave a kind review. If you're ready to get down to business and work with me to end your food issues permanently, please reach out or go to katiepapo.com for more info. Be kind to yourself. And I hope to see you for the next episode.